All right. Let's kick it off.
Hey.
All right. Good morning. Good morning, James.
Straight into the breakdown there.
Man, we made it this morning. That's awesome.
We did. We're
episode 019 of the Local Legends podcast show is about to begin. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm Jonathan Cook. Good morning, Mr. James Irwin.
Good morning. How are you?
Dude, I'm feeling great this morning. We got an awesome weather outside. We're filming from Crowley, Texas, if you're watching.
Live.
But if you're listening to our podcast on Spotify or iTunes, we are here at Central Standard Time 9:11 in Texas.
God, we were off by 4 minutes.
4 minutes, we missed it.
Darn it.
Never forget.
How you feeling this morning, Mr. Stephen Brown?
Man, I am refreshed. I'm stoked to be here. I'm excited to interview Representative Burns. It's going to be fantastic.
Man, this is going to be a great show.
I agree.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mr. Dwayne Burns.
Good morning,
our
gentlemen.
State rep is here. Shake your hand this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mr. Burns, Mr. Stephen Brown, good to see you. Mr. James, let's go have a great show.
Let's rock and roll.
We're shaking hands in the studio, if you can't see, because you're consuming us somewhere like the radio.com app or iHeartRadio.
That makes for good radio, the shaking
Perfect.
Of hands.
It does.
It does.
It works really well, so that's an awesome thing. And we're actually here this morning to tell you guys that as of this episode, we are now on iHeartRadio, radio.com app.
Wow.
And some people who are listening, we want to say hello to everyone on Spotify.
Boom.
And if you're on Facebook Live today, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want to get some questions in for State Representative Dwayne Burns over Johnson and Bosque County, we're going to do live comments and questions here in just a little bit. So go ahead and get your comments in below. And if you're watching live, drop an L in the comments. That way we can know who's tuning in this morning. Now, if you're watching on the replay and you want to tell us what city you are watching from, either live or on the replay, that makes it more fun. Just drop an L or an emoji in the city or state or country that you're watching from. And if you're on the toilet, you can drop OTT, one or two, or maybe three if you're having problems. That's from a previous episode.
Detox.
Detox.
Now, here's the funny thing. This might be your first time to ever tune in to the Local Legends podcast. Well, we have some great previous guests that we've had on. Jason Castro, an American Idol contestant.
LeBron James.
No, we never had LeBron James
prove
on. Although
it. You cannot prove that we have not had
There him. Is no That's proof it. Around that. So, Mr. LeBron James, if you'd like to come on the Local Legend Show, we'd love to have you. You are an Ohio legend.
We would have him.
Yeah, we would have him. Would He'd have to you. Duck coming into the studio, but we would have him.
Yeah, we would.
He's not that much taller than me, is he? He's only, what, 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah, he's like Dwayne Burns' height.
Just, I mean,
yeah. Maybe.
Maybe he's like right there, 6'7".
He stands on his tippy toes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, perhaps.
And so, you know, if we've also had Andrew Sevener, the voice contestant who made Johnson County famous once again on Blake Shelton's team this season.
That is not Andrew Sevener.
That's not him.
Well, the way we start out on all of these shows, if you've never seen our or listened to our podcast or watched our podcast on Facebook Live before, you may not know this, but if you get an L in the comments below quickly, you will earn a shout-out for being one of the first people in our show. So let's go to the comments below, and let's give our shouts out first and foremost, and then we'll hop right into the man, the myth, the legend, the one that hides in the Capitol, Mr. Dwayne Burns.
That's right. We hide from no one.
Yes. Mr. Alex Phillips. Man, our first listener.
Alex Phillips.
Thank you, Alex, for tuning in, and
thanks,
we want to
buddy.
Give you a shout-out.
A Phil, that's what I call him.
Oh, is that he's already got the nickname?
A Phil.
A Phil. Getting a shout out from Dwayne Burns, Mr. A Phil. Our second right. shout out goes to the lovely Randy Irwin.
I'm trying out all new Jurassic Park drops this morning. That's awesome.
We call him Rander.
That's it.
Rander.
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 Rander. So Rander's watching this morning.
I used to call him when he was a little kid, when he'd write his Y's, the line would carry over too far, so it'd just be an X. So I always called him Randex,
Randex.
Growing up because he couldn't write his Y.
What's up, Randex?
What's up, Randex?
I love that. So Good Rander or Randex.
That's it. Randex.
And our third shout out is going to go to Mr. LeBron James. LeBron James. Look at this. We do have a viewer right here who is creepily viewing and consuming our radio
Get
show today.
Lawn.
Thank you so much. What a trespasser. Who was that? Your brother?
Oh, I think it was.
Yeah, that's
it was
so
my
embarrassing.
Younger brother, Cody.
He's your biggest fan, isn't he?
He's one of them.
One of the biggest fans. So this is so cool because as we have become closer friends, I've always wanted to sit down and hang out with you, and our schedules haven't allowed it too much. But recently you did have half of our team up to the state capitol where we got to go and preview the House floor.
Yep. Yeah, we did.
Sure enough. It was a real treat for me. I love it when constituents come down to Austin. Love having the opportunity to show them around the capitol, tell them a little bit of the history that I know, which is not all of it, obviously, but I know a little bit. And of course, you know, just spend some time with folks back home. I need that when I'm in session down there, you know, for months on end. And it's refreshing to have folks from back home.
For sure.
And to come and spend a little time with. So thank you guys. It was really a treat for me.
Oh, wow. Enjoy. Yeah. That was awesome for us. So did you guys just wrap up session?
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah. May 27th was signy die, which means everybody go home. You
can
can't
you repeat
stay
that?
Here. Signy die. S-I-N-E-D-I-E.
Oh, I thought
signing,
I thought
that was
like
an embedded command to the governor, like sign or die.
No.
I thought it was. I thought the E was Spanish for and, so sign and die.
Oh, that's another way to interpret it. Yeah, sign E die.
No, it just means you can't stay here. Got to go home.
Oh, man.
There we go.
And so we do. We leave. We adjourn. Sign E die, and make our way back to our homes, our families, our jobs, our businesses, and reintroduce ourselves to our families back home.
And, remember
take
me?
Take that time. Yes, exactly. And but it's a good deal, I think. Pretty successful session by all walks, and I was proud to be a part of it.
Now, you are our state rep for two counties, is that right? All of Bosque, all of Johnson, or part of each?
No, that's correct. I have two complete counties. So all of Johnson, all of Bosque, we have what is called the one county rule in the state of Texas. So if you, if your population, we have, and there are population markers that have to be met in order for you to split a county. So Johnson County does not have enough people to have just its own state representative.
Sure.
Bosque County doesn't have its enough people to have its own. So those counties have to they maintain their integrity, stay whole, and when you put them together, it's just the right mix for the best district in the state of Texas, District 58.
All right, well, let's play a little game called How Many Bosque County Cities Can Dwayne Burns Name? All right, I'm going to have to pull it up on Wikipedia.
No, he's going to lose voters in Copperell.
No, I'm not, because I know Copperell.
All right, here we go. And Bosque County, Texas is comprised of multiple cities, and Dwayne Burns is going to share with us some of those cities. Here we go.
All right, so southernmost tip of our district and Bosque County, Valley Mills.
Valley Mills for 20 points.
There
all right,
go.
Valley Mills.
Move on up the road to Clifton, Texas.
Clifton, Texas for 50 points.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Of course, there's the county seat, Meridian, Texas.
All right.
That's the one.
Not to be overshadowed, Meridian, Texas, the county seat for 100 points.
That's right. Move out to the west, and you'll find Cranfield's Gap.
Cranfield's Gap.
The Gap, as the locals call it.
Cranfield's Gap. If you're watching from Cranfield's Gap, you refer to your own city as the Gap.
The Gap.
That's where Jamie Ice hunts.
The home of the Horny Toad Bar and Grill, a popular biker place to stop.
Absolutely, home of the Horny Toad, so that was a bonus 200 points.
We're doing well here.
All right.
You have Iredell, the great thriving metropolis of Iredell, Texas.
We lost our music. Let me plug that back in here. Let's see. All right, the Iredell for 400 points.
Copperell, which has already been mentioned. Lakeside Village.
Lakeside Village, wonderful.
Nice.
Which is just on this side
of
Lake Whitney.
Hey.
Yes,
what do you know?
It's aside the lake, as a matter of fact.
Wow. So, now, for bonus points, what river feeds into Lake Whitney Reservoir?
Ooh.
Brazos River.
Brazos River. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
He is on a roll this morning. Yep.
But which fork of the Brazos River?
Oh, come on.
Oh, man. Come on, Stephen. Right. You don't know that.
Nobody knows that.
Wait a second. What are you talking about?
The clear fork. The best fork.
That is.
Bosque County is located on the Edwards Plateau in the U.S. state of Texas. As the 2010 census, the population was 18,212.
Wow. Okay.
Of which zero are listening to our podcast this morning.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Wow.
I bet there's a Meridian listener.
There probably is. There's probably a Cranfield's Gap listener as well.
Sure.
My grandfather and Jonathan, our pop-pop, Warren.
Yes, absolutely. My grandfather as well.
He laid the bricks for, I would say, 90% of old downtown Meridian, he and his dad.
Wow.
Back in the, after World War II, I guess.
That is cool.
Maybe even before World War II. But we got family ties to Meridian.
So absolutely, we cool. do.
It's,
now,
it's neat.
It's a great place. It's one of the most beautiful places in the state of Texas. A lot of folks from the Metroplex make their way down there on weekends to Bosque County. They love the hill country.
Oh, yeah.
Love the ranch area, the river. It's a beautiful place.
Now, is there, there's a Bosque River, too. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so it flows into Waco. Sure
okay. Enough. Bosque mm-hmm. River floats into Waco. Okay. And so the Brazos and the Bosque, I guess, both flow into Waco. Mm-hmm. And all right. So you got turkey hunting down there. What else is there to do in Bosque County?
Hunting. Hunting.
A lot of hunting.
Yeah. Huge, huge place for hunting. But I'll tell you what. The Norwegian capital of Texas is in Clifton.
Really?
In fact, the Tour de Norway is coming up here in a few weeks, and a bicycle race, and sponsored by the Clifton Chamber. And, you know, there's all kinds of things to do down in Clifton that you wouldn't think about. Clifton is a culturally smart area.
Okay.
They have the Bosque Museum, which is – and all most of this is funded by local folks, private money folks that they have the one of the most prestigious Western art museums in the nation right there in Clifton, Texas.
Okay. Wow.
And it's a great place to visit. Encourage you to do that. Yeah. Wow.
And that's the largest city in Boston County, in Bosque County, I guess.
Sure is. Yeah. Bosque County's home to at least three Western Heritage artists that are in the Western Artist Hall of Fame, which that's a big deal if you're in the arts, that's a big deal. And I mean, in fact, and I found this interesting. So, my artwork is worth nothing. So, okay. If I do a piece of artwork for you, you can post it anywhere, no problem. It's not going to be worth a thing. But they have a hard time displaying their artwork from these artists that live in Bosque County because they're so valuable. Just the insurance on those pieces of art
really
is expensive.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because they're that well thought of across the nation.
Now that's amazing. I would have never thought of Bosque County brewing artists like that at that level. And here's the cool thing about that. That's in Central Texas, so it doesn't actually surprise me the tourist attraction that Bosque County is, because it's in the hill country. You have the rivers there. People love to float these rivers, which actually they're flowing at a pace where it's actually probably pretty safe to float these rivers.
Yay.
Not the Brazos right now. It's flowing like crazy because it's up. But as you go into here's what I'm curious about. As you go into Bosque County and do your visits, what type of work are you doing there when you're going and maybe visiting Bosque County?
You know, that's perfect. So my district, as you can tell, our district is very diverse. We have all the problems of fast growth, high population, suburban areas. But we also have those rural issues that come into play, property rights issues with takings from folks that are doing eminent domain, maybe pipeline companies or electric companies, whatever, wanting to move across so that they can provide that oil, gas, electricity, or movement of people from the populated areas to the other populated areas of Texas. Well, those rural areas kind of get lost in the mix sometimes. And I consider myself a private property rights champion. And so I meet with folks down there, and we help them. We carry the torch on that issue for them. And so, you know, those rural issues like that, school funding, public schools in those areas, they're spread out, you know, and it's hard for those school districts to consolidate, but they're small. And their kiddos are just as valuable as the kiddos here in Burleson or in Austin or Dallas. And
no doubt.
I do everything I can to fight for those folks down in that rural area.
Completely
different issues than we have up here.
That's crazy to think about, because we have a yard. You know, up here we're talking, you know, James lives close to TCU. We're talking, hey, my 6,000 feet, get off. But these people are talking my 6,000 acres. Yeah. You know, what do you do with the back right corner? Did you slip a pipeline through my back sliver of my 6,000 acres, which I haven't visited in 2 years, you know? I mean, they've got huge tracts of land. I'm sure the school district wants some of it, and roads need to come through some of it. And as I was doing a dirt bike, like enduro, so they can ride on the street, they can ride on the trail, dirt bike ride.
Must go faster.
Must go faster. A few years ago, we were riding down through Bosque County, and we were riding through some of these fire roads. And I'd never been knowledgeable about fire roads until this, but these are literal roads that have to go through these large ranches, because the ranches are so big, there's no shortcut to go all the way around them, so you ride these fire roads. That was pretty interesting to me, that there's 30, 40,000 acre ranches that to get through them, you have to go on the fire road, which is actually owned by the ranch owner.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Do you know about the fire roads in Boston?
I know a little bit about the fire roads. I know that, you know, in the heat of the summer, sometimes we'll plow the fence rows right along the fence line to keep and along the right of way of the road to make sure if there's a fire on another piece of property, it doesn't jump across that road and catch your place on fire. I mean, prescribed burns, we're all about. You need those. Those are great. You know, we work with volunteer fire departments down there to do those. But
what's a prescribed burn?
Prescribed burn. All right. So
it's a Dwayne burn.
It's a Dwayne burn, just a little bit different.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So a prescribed burn is when you've got pasture land that's got overgrowth and brush and just needs some rejuvenation. And so you will go in and work with the local what they call the burn master. He will come out and will help you.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been called that often.
Yeah.
It's because you're fair-skinned, James.
One of my nicknames.
Has nothing to do with prescribed burns.
The burn.
we'll need to
put your contact info out there for these folks.
Yeah.
But anyways, you go out and you would literally section off an area and have it monitored, and you would burn this piece of property. And in a few months, it'll come back green. I mean, as green as you can imagine. It'll get rid of all that underbrush, all of that fuel that could be firing a hazardous fire in the future.
Wow.
And it'll come back green, as you can imagine. And then you can plant or put, usually it's pasture land. You can put, cows or goats or whatever, mainly livestock. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't it fertilize the soil, too?
It absolutely
helps it.
Yeah. Puts nitrogen in the soil. You bet.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Well, let's go back to the comments for a minute. Randy Irwin says, morning. How's everybody today? Randy, we're doing well. He said, let's have Darth Vader. So thank you, Randy, for that comment.
No! Sorry, Randy.
Maybe there's some people watching, say, out of state, and they're curious, what does a state rep do?
Depends on who you ask. some would say not much, but I believe, you know, it's my role to go. I'm a representative, so it's my duty to go to and represent all of you in your state capital, and fight for what we believe is right. Fight for what we want. We fight for the change or the status quo, whatever we think is right for Texas and the direction we want to go. We have one bill that I'm constitutionally required to pass, and that is the state budget. So our biggest challenge is trying to figure out how to spend the state's money and do that appropriately. Look at the functions of government, make sure that they are appropriate functions of government, and make sure they're running appropriately and efficiently. If they aren't, then we need to do something about it. And So that's what a state representative does. I have a district office in Bosque County. I have a district office in Johnson County. And then I have an office in the capital in Austin. So
is your Bosque County in Clifton?
It is, yeah.
And your Johnson County in Cleburne?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And so if we have an issue, say, what types of issues are the public allowed to bring to their state rep?
Any issue that involves a state agency. You know, and our state agencies try to do the best job they can, but sometimes folks run into red tape, they run into challenges, they run into problems. It happens to all of us.
Of course.
If there's a challenge that my population, my citizens are experiencing with the state of Texas, any agency, we want to help them with that. That's our job. One of our jobs is to intervene, call the state agency, figure out where's the problem, what can we do, what can be done. Sometimes, you know, we can't. It's not appropriate for a state official to intervene, but sometimes we can help that out, you know, cut through the mess, through the quagmire of red tape that seems to develop sometimes. So that's one of the things we do.
So if the game warden, is the game warden a state agency?
Yeah, sure enough. Yeah.
Through Parks and Wildlife. Yep.
Yep.
So how would you say, if maybe some hunters are out there watching today and they feel like a game warden is coming onto their property illegally. Is there such a case where a game warden is not allowed on a property?
No, there's not. You know, the game wardens have a lot of authority, and that's by design. They can always contact the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department if they have an issue about it. You know, I'm very proud of our game wardens, and I know our game wardens in Johnson and Bosque County. They've made it a point to get to know me as well, just so that, you know, we have open lines of communication. Mm-hmm. And the job they do out there is invaluable. But, you know, if somebody has a problem with a game warden, we all make mistakes, you know. But if somebody has a problem, then they should contact Parks and Wildlife Department. And if they get no response or they're having issues or questions, they can contact our office. We're happy to intervene. Awesome. Yeah.
How many game wardens do we have across Johnson and Bosque County?
Oh, goodness. We've got several. We have some new ones, so I can't name them all. But, you know,
is it 100?
No. We have probably – we have less than 10 easily. We have probably four or five. Game wardens,
wow.
in our county, so it's you know, they're spread out. They have a lot to do.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, it was funny because as we were touring the Capitol, we got to do some cool things. But what we really got to do was see the history. And you said that there are some lobbyists that sit outside the council floors. Is that how you refer, or the House floor?
Yeah.
And they want to talk to you about, please don't pass this or please don't pass that. Can you kind of tell me tell the listeners what you told us about how the lobbyists work and what they do?
Yeah. They literally stand in the lobby of the House floor. So hence the name lobbyist.
Not just a clever name. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's
so when y'all go take an ice cream break, they are there to capture your time.
That's right. Although I know how to get around them. But, so they're there, and they're advocating on behalf of associations, on behalf of individuals, on behalf of industries,
sure.
Whatever, on behalf of individual companies even, you know, and, you know, they get a bad rap, and I get it. I understand that, because folks want us to make independent decisions based on the opinions and the values that we hold dear back home. And
right.
I get that. I'm for that. But at the same time, the lobby sometimes does provide a service. They give us information about issues and how it could impact an industry or something that I may not be familiar with. Mm. And so, you know, for example, the Texas Association of Realtors has lobbyists.
The Realtors.
And they come to us and they visit with us about some of the things that are important to us. Property rights. Mm-hmm. Association of Realtors is very strong on personal property rights and eminent domain reform. So it's good to hear from them on those issues, those kind of things. So I know, like I said, lobbyists get a bad rap, but they do provide a service for as far as informing us and giving us information. And if you want to be a lobbyist and you want to be worth anything in Austin, you must be honest. As
wow.
in any profession, you're only as good as your word,
sure.
especially in the lobby industry.
How are they paid?
They're paid by the clients that hire them. So if some of them are in-house, for example, some would be like the Association of Realtors would have their own lobbyists that they hire full-time and they pay them. But then they also might contract with a lobbyist because they have an important issue they want to reach a lot of folks. And so they would contract with them on the side and have like a contract deal. But that's how they're paid. They're paid by
wow.
private folks. It's not tax dollars or anything like that.
Oh, my, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
I would never have even known about that if we didn't do that tour of the House floor.
Yeah.
I also would have never known about the flavor of Mardi Gras HEB ice cream that Dwayne gave us as a gift.
Was it King Cake ice cream? Was that what it was?
King's Cake. King's Cake. The plastic thing in the middle.
Yeah, always the little best for you
plastic
guys.
Plastic baby Jesus. Yeah. That you...
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Okay, moving right along. So, you know, we had a cool time because there was a painting in there. Or was it a flag or a painting?
Dude.
Flag, yeah.
Flag.
So right behind the stage on the back, kind of as a backdrop, will you tell us about that?
Yes.
Just a little bit?
So in the House, on the House floor, behind the dais where the speaker stands.
In the Capitol in Austin
is
where we're talking about.
In the Austin. In Austin, there is the only surviving flag from the battle for the independence of Texas.
Wow.
All right. So April 21st, 1836, we had the Battle of San Jacinto.
Okay.
All right. And that's when Sam Houston took the Texans and defeated Santa Anna, and Texas became independent. Mm. But there is a flag, the surviving flag from that battle. From the Battle of San Jacinto, hangs on the dais, behind the dais, there on the floor of the House of Representatives.
Wow.
The other flags that we have around the Capitol that are displayed are replicas, but this is the only one that actually has remnants from the actual flag. And it's only displayed for 5 months at a time while we're in session. And then once we're out, once we adjourn, sign or die, and we've gone over that.
Right.
Once we adjourn, sign or die, well, then that flag is taken down and a replica is put up, you know, for so it can be preserved. But I think it's just one of the coolest pieces of history, of Texas history, one of the coolest mementos pieces of memorabilia that we have.
I mean, that's coming up on 200 years old, 1836.
Yeah. That's wild. Imagine making that flag and not realizing that one day it would be where it is.
Yeah.
Like, you probably, somebody who's making that flag is probably like, oh, make another flag, you know? Had no idea the impact it was going to have.
Right. I heard it become a symbol of independence and of Texas grit.
Yeah.
For sure. Honestly. For sure.
Well, if you're just listening, just tuning in to us or consuming this podcast, we're here with State Representative of Johnson and Bosque County, Texas, Mr. Dwayne Burns, who also, we found out, lives in Johnson County, nice. Has an office in Clifton, Bosque County, and Cleburne, Johnson County, and then also has a office down in Austin, Texas, in the Capitol. And we just learned a little bit about the Battle of San Jacinto. I want to read this little piece here off Wikipedia. The Battle of San Jacinto, fought on April 21st, 1836, in present-day Harris County, Texas, was the decisive battle of the Texas Revolution. It was led by General Sam Houston. Mm-hmm. The Tejan Army engaged and defeated General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna's Mexican Army in a fight that lasted just 18 minutes. A detailed first-hand account of the battle was written by General Houston from the headquarters of the Tejan Army, San Jacinto, on April 25th, 1836. Last sentence here. Numerous secondary analysis and interpretations have followed, several of which are cited and discussed throughout this entry. So this was an 18-minute fight. I had no idea.
Oh, that's nice.
They took them in their sleep, didn't they? Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, it was, I guess you can Google it and find out more details.
Surprise.
But, yeah, from what I understand, it was siesta time, and, General Houston knew that and was smart about things and said, let's get her done. They did it.
There's that famous painting of the capture of Santa, or the surrender of Santa Ana, where it shows Sam Houston going up to Santa Ana, who is under a blanket under a tree, waking up, and he's got the gun pointed at his face.
That's where the rally cry of "Remember the Alamo" and "Remember Goliad" became etched into Texas history. And Sam Houston also is a tall statue along, is it I-45?
45, yep.
Yep.
Man,
right at Sam Houston University, or what university is that?
That's right.
Yeah,
Sam Houston University. Yeah. So that is really cool. There's so much history in that Capitol. How old is that building, do you know?
Yeah, it was constructed in 1878, 1888. It took about 10 years.
The flag is older than the building.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
you bet.
Neat.
You
That's
bet.
That's really cool.
And there's pictures of all of that, of the construction. They have some great pictures from the construction of the Capitol, the original construction in the 1800s. If folks will come down to the Capitol and visit sometime, I'll be happy to show them.
Man, I love that. So I want to take a moment and do something we just call free flow. So you have brought some things that you want to talk about possibly, or things you want to read from. And so now is going to be your time to just take this where you want. Real quickly, I want to go to the comments, and then we're going to let you have the floor. Mr. Drew Pennywell says, "Remember the Alamo!" Exclamation point.
That's it.
Thank you, Drew, for that comment.
Remember.
And Sarah Arden says, 1836. My dad was born in 1936. Dot, dot, dot. Crazy. So that is very awesome. Sarah, thank you for that input. And show us what you have, or let's talk about what you have to talk about there.
Well, I'm going to disappear off camera for one sec here.
We'll go to me and James for a sec while you disappear.
Yep.
See,
nope.
You can James.
I mean, listen, we talking about practice.
Practice. Not a game. Not a game.
Oh, wow.
Practice.
Not a game. What is in the box?
Okay, so
what's
here
in
we
the
go.
Box?
We got us.
What's in the box?
Hold on. I'm
some will be disappointed to know these are not donuts.
I thought they were state rep donuts.
Yeah, with the state seal.
Can you put that in the camera real quick so we can just see what's on the box?
It is a donut box.
Look at this, y'all.
Oh, it's not a donut.
It says Texas House of Representative. I have no idea what's in the box, but that's awesome.
Texas House of Representing. All right, here we go. So we have, first of all, the rules.
Found it.
Found it. All right, we captured the. What's in the box? Here we go.
The rules about the rules governing the Texas flag. So I'm going to give you these. You're going to see why in a moment. But these are the rules governing the use of the Texas flag. And, of course, then on the back we have the pledge to the Texas flag. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas one state, under God, one and indivisible. Amen. All right. Wow. So I'm going to give you that. All right. We've got that.
Whoa.
Then we have.
For those of you that are consuming this not on the video, maybe Spotify or iHeartRadio, it says rules governing the use of the Texas flag. Texas House of Representatives, and then you flip it over, it's a little booklet, and it has the pledge of the Texas flag. And there are literally rules in here, about 5 pages of rules, on governing the use of the Texas flag. So yeah, that's awesome.
Just for your reference there. I secondly have a flag that has been flown over the state capitol in Austin, and we're going to present this to you guys here at Jonathan Cook Realty to display as you see fit within the guidelines of the rules governing the Texas flag. And so we're going to give you guys this right here.
Oh man. Thank you so much.
That is greatness.
So we have it. There's a certificate that shows officially I've signed it. It shows the date. We added a letter to your name, though, so Jonathan, so I'm going to get you a corrected one version, a version that has the correct spelling of Jonathan. But anyways, Jonathan. There you go.
Dude, look at this. Y'all, those of you, this
and
is
his
special.
His name is Johnson.
The
his
ones of you that are consuming this on, maybe you're consuming this on Spotify and you can't see this, so we'll describe it here. But those of you that are consuming it on Facebook Live, this is a state seal, three colors of ribbons, red, white, and blue behind this, and this certifies that the Texas flag herewith presented to the Jonathan Cook team by State Representative Dwayne Burns was flown at the capital of the sovereign state of Texas to commemorate the Jonathan Cook team ribbon cutting and witness thereof and pursuant to the authority vested in me. I have hereunto set my hand and seal of office at Austin, Texas, this 23rd day of April 2019. And this was actually the day that we had a ribbon cutting here. Mm-hmm. At the office. So, signed Dwayne Burns. Man, this is so special. That's thank you so much. What an honor.
That is awesome.
And we will, we will absolutely take this and we will display this
proudly.
Proudly.
Goodness.
Is it going to go in the studio, you think?
It's probably going to need to go back here in the studio so it can be seen on every episode. This
is
great.
Wild.
That really is very cool.
Well, we hope you like it.
All right.
Sorry I couldn't be here for your ribbon cutting. We were in the Austin, you know. We hadn't signed died yet. So.
Yeah, session was live on air.
That's right. That's right.
So they spelled the name right down here. They just misspelled it up there, which we'll get it. That's awesome. Yeah. I'll put it there so we can put the box or the lid back on it. That way it's not getting...
fantastic.
Dude, that is awesome.
That is greatness.
And just to think of the amount of bloodshed to defend that flag and those colors, we truly do show honor to that. That really is no small deal. That's huge. So thank you for that surprise. I had no idea that was coming. So thanks for that.
My pleasure.
What else do you have over there you want to talk about?
All right, we got all kinds of things. So this is just a personal gift. I only brought three, so everybody gets one. Right.
Everybody gets a ball.
State, you're going to want to take really good care of these. Now, these were not made with taxpayer dollars. I need to make sure that you all know that.
They were made with lobbyist dollars.
But anyway.
This big fat.
The title.
The fat cat lobbyist.
No way.
These were paid for by Dwayne Burns.
Dude.
But, just.
State Rep Pro V1.
I know you guys are golfers.
Pro V1X, bro.
Nice.
Yeah. So there you go. Everybody. Wow. You can even keep the box. You know,
that's
there
great.
You go.
These are going to sit in the studio. Man, this is actually the ball
studio
I play.
Swag.
The Titleist Pro V1X. This is tempting to go play with this ball, but this will not be played
no.
with.
No.
That's awesome.
So,
that's so great.
And then the only thing, I've got a briefcase full of paperwork if you want to go through all of that.
He's presenting it to us, too. We're getting all the paperwork.
Yeah, we're all going to sit around and do paperwork. We're going to analyze bills for next session. and then I've got my Bible here with me that, just has everything in it and, speeches and thoughts and prayers and all kinds of things. I just take it with me wherever, not to show off or anything, but just because it's a vital tool in what I do on a day-to-day basis. So, I just had it here because when I get in a jam, there's no better place to look. And I keep comments, I keep thoughts and things when I need to share with folks, they're right there to my fingertips. Mm. So,
it's actually in this commercial that we have playing here. The famous Bible that he brought today, I think, is actually pictured in this commercial. There it is.
There it is. Yeah.
There it is.
Sure enough.
Now, here's what's cool about that. We work for a company Keller Williams Realty out of Austin, Texas, and so it's now become the largest real estate company in the world by not only agent count, not only the number of closed real estate transactions annually, but also by total sales volume. So it is just as of last year, we got what's called the trifecta of real estate. And it's, I don't know that it's ever been done before, but we are now the largest company worldwide. So we have offices in Johannesburg, South Africa, and Israel, in the UK, and all over the world. There's Keller Williams' office, Manhattan, New York. And here's what's cool about that. The coolest thing about that is that it's not only headquartered in Austin, Texas, but it is also God first, family second, work third. So this is a company that truly has what you're talking about, living the culture of a Christian and a faith-filled life, putting God first, family second, and work third. So I love that you carry your Bible with you everywhere. That's huge. I'm going to take a picture now because I love that. All right, so moving right along, because we do have comments. We have Stephen. Why don't you read the comments that we have below there? And
absolutely,
or James.
Man, why don't you
want me to get it? Want me to hit
it? Yeah.
All right. From the lovely Mrs. Gail Williams. Love listening to you guys! Exclamation point! Exclamation point! Exclamation point!
We're having fun,
Mrs. Willis. I love you. You're amazing. She's the best.
Absolutely, and she is an educator, right?
She is.
Ah, thank you for your work.
Yes.
She is. Another educator who we mentioned last week, Mr. Cedric Ingram, his dream is to own and create a Texas version of the Dukes of Hazzard General Lee, red or blue with a Texas flag atop a 69 Dodge Charger with 36 on the side. Wouldn't that be so legit?
I think admirable goal.
A 60, what year is it?
69, bro.
Oh, there you go. So
with the 36 for 1836.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that?
Nice.
Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was such a cool show growing up. People don't realize how children of the 90s just lived off of reruns of Dukes of Hazzard. I didn't ever get to see it. Yeah. I never got to see it live, but
I did.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there you go. Honestly.
Very nice.
Now, do you have copies of something you want to read there?
No, these are just you never know what you're going to. I try to be as prepared as possible.
Sure.
This is literally a matrix, if you will, of our bill. Progression and bills that we filed and where they died in the process and where some of them made it through the process. And this is a printout of all the bills that we filed.
This session only?
Yeah, this session. This session.
How many is it?
We had 13 bills on this particular report that were filed. We filed, but I don't remember. Let's see, this report was dated March 1st. So we actually had about 30 bills filed. Roughly 8 or 9 of them made it. I say 8 or 9 because some of our bills, and I'm not even counting all of them, passed through the process as amendments. So, we may have a bill that goes and dies in committee. It's a great, of course, every idea we have coming out of Johnson and Bosque County is a great idea. But sometimes the whole legislature may not agree with us. But so we have to find creative and better ways to pass that legislation. So we'll pass them as bills, standalone bills, or as amendments. And, for example, we had an amendment that was an important bill, but the amendment was an amendment to a bill that dealt with the budget and how we spend public school tax dollars. And in the bill, in the school refinance bill, there was no limitation or no rule in there governing what had to be spent on career and technical education,
which is exceedingly important.
Huge deal. Yeah, as our population increases and the demands on our economy increase, we need more and more folks that are skilled technicians and folks that can go out and do those trades, and these classes are imperative. So, anyways, I passed an amendment that made sure that we at least maintain the current funding levels in all school districts on those career and technical education
programs.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's a priority. It's important. But that's something that's important, especially in Bosque County and Johnson County. But it's important across the state. And wouldn't have passed as a bill, but we got it as an amendment. So now we also had bills that passed. But
what's the difference between a bill and amendment?
So an amendment is just kind of on the fly. As an opportunity comes up on a bill that's related to something that we've dealt with, I can go have an amendment drafted, offer it on the floor, and then we debate the merits of that amendment right there on the floor, and then it either attaches or it doesn't. And so it's not its own bill. It doesn't have a number. It's just an amendment to a bill with a number.
So it has to do with a bill that's already...
Yeah. It can be loosely... there's points of order. There are all types of rules of order that take place to make sure a bill is germane. I mean, an amendment is germane to a bill or whatever. It's appropriate, but... if you can clear those hurdles, sometimes you can get an amendment attached. Not often, But sometimes you can get an amendment tax. It's worthwhile.
You can't have any Tito bills. You have to keep them germane.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that is
bad. It's okay. No! That's so terrible.
Sucking a life force out of us here. No, that's good. So, but then we, you know.
That's kind of how I feel right now. That's my insides.
What happens to your family as you're in Austin? Whenever you know you have to kiss your girls goodbye, you have you know I know you got a dog named Tiffany. So how does that dynamic affect you while you're in session?
Man, that is the toughest thing to deal with. The thing that folks don't see, but it is the toughest thing because I have to move to Austin. I live in an efficiency. You know, the question I'm asked most is how much do you make?
That's where I was going. Yeah. Where do you live down there?
Yeah, how much do you make? Where do you live?
And which mansion?
Yes. All those great questions. So as a state representative, I make $600 a month. You know, and the kids, when I tell kids that, they're like, wow. When I tell adults, they're like, wow. You know, gosh.
Kids are like, oh, my gosh, he's rich. Yeah, what mansion do you live in Austin?
But, you know, that's why we do that in Texas so that we have a truly representative form of government. We have to go back and make our own money, make our, you know, have our own lives.
So. I got a question that I want to ask while you're on that because – has that number increased or decreased, or is that like an antiquated $600 per session has been in for a long time?
I couldn't tell you how long. I should probably know that, but you know, I didn't get it for
the
money.
That doesn't go up every year,
right? Clearly,
yeah. No, I don't. It doesn't go up. We don't raise that figure. Now we get a per diem, and that can fluctuate during session. That helps us with our living expenses. But the money that we make doesn't. So for example, healthcare costs are so high. Once I pay my healthcare costs, I actually don't get any money. I have to pay the state about $2,000 a year on top of all the salary that I make.
To be a representative.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, but in return, I do get some health coverage. And so, you know, I'm not complaining. That's just the way it is.
That's just, and people think that the mayor, you know, some of the mayors in the local area are friends of mine. And it's so funny when you hear what they make. You know, it's like $20 a day or $5 a session or 10 bucks a day. You know, and one thing I was wondering, how many different careers are represented on the House floor?
Man.
Is there like a consistent everybody's an attorney or everybody's
It is a melting pot of folks from all kinds of backgrounds. We have funeral directors. We have farm and ranch. We have insurance salesmen. Now, we do have a lot of attorneys, and I'm thankful we do sometimes, you know, because they can help us think through some of these things.
Is that the most common career on the House floor?
Probably so, you know, but it's not like they're overwhelmingly more attorney, you know, like half – it's not like half the body is attorneys or anything like that. We have – I can't remember. They usually get up and take a big picture of themselves, and I try
attorneys?
To count them. They're, all the attorneys gather up and they take a big picture of all the attorneys.
We're the attorney state reps.
It's
okay,
kind of very what the attorneys photo. Did.
It's kind of a micro brag.
Shaking their hand at everybody who's not an attorney.
I've never seen all of us farm and ranch guys get.
So what is your career?
Well, you know, I'm a farm and ranch background. Agriculture has been in my family's bit for eons, and. And with that comes diversification. You know, a family farm, as it grows, sometimes the population of the family outgrows the dirt.
Yeah.
And so you diversify. And so we have, we have a farm. Our family farm still operates out. Our family ranch operates in Southwest Johnson County. And then Jennifer and I own some investment properties, some rental properties. We have, we invest in markets. This is crazy. We own part of a soccer team. You know, just different things, different ways to try to put food on the table.
I like it.
For our kids. And Jennifer was a teacher for years.
What school district?
In Cleburne. She taught in Pflugerville at one point way back over 20 years ago when we first got married. But she has taught in Cleburne for years and then taught at our church at Wee School. Did that for a while when we had young kids. And
you want to shout out to your church right here?
Yeah.
Look in the camera.
Hey,
give a shout out.
First Baptist Cleburne.
There it is. First Baptist Cleburne.
Yeah.
FBC.
Where do you you have the family ranch in Southwest Johnson County?
Yeah, it's near Goat Neck.
Oh, okay.
If you know where Goat Neck
south
is.
South of Nemo?
Right on the Brazos.
Yeah, kind of south of Nemo.
Southeast of Nemo.
Yeah,
Goat Neck Bend.
So, little west of or a little east of Five Oaks. Some people know where Five Oaks is. It's northwest a little bit of the Brazos River Bridge right there. I call it the old Rusty Bridge. But
that's such a cool bridge, man. They're still doing canoeing, and that trailer full of canoes that drags you up and lets you go, or tubes, I guess, drags you up and lets you go right there. I was wondering, James had an interesting piece last week where you read some headlines.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you had some headlines that we could prepare in just a few minutes to end the show with some of those headlines. Last week, James pulled up a headline where gold disappeared, like from one country to another.
70 tons of gold from...
It wasn't that.
It was a lot of gold disappeard.
I read on Facebook a headline that was interesting. We've been reading all of the
Facebook
bills
headlines
that have passed.
Oh yeah,
like Greg Abbott gets rid of the red light cameras and like. Yeah. So what are some bills? Yeah, I would have voted for
you. Wrote that?
I voted for it.
Oh, you voted for it.
You bet.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I had just gotten one of those in the mail like the day before, and I've never paid one. Like, it's kind of like paying the stupid tax to me if you pay one of those.
Just transparency.
Just
right
transparency. There's literally nothing they can do. And then the next day, I was like, oh, turns out I was right. Uh-huh. So there's that. But what bills have passed that you were really excited about? Maybe you didn't sponsor them, but they popped up and you were really excited
sure
about it.
Sure. Oh, man, there's all kinds. I'll tell you what. The school finance reform bills that we did,
right,
that puts more state money into public education, so we rely less on property tax dollars, yep, you know, and that's what everybody's what I hear about most when
property tax
throughout the district is property taxes, border security, those types of issues.
So you want to raise property taxes?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know which way.
The opposite.
Oh, okay, the opposite.
Absolutely the opposite. You know, I'll tell you what, one of the bills that I'm most excited about, and the governor invited me down, my first time I've ever done this, had a bill signing, and the governor invited. He thought it was a priority as well, and it was House Bill 3540, okay, and it was spawned from an idea from a constituent right here in Johnson County, and she came to us and made us aware of a situation. I talked to law enforcement. They were in agreement. I talked to the ARC of Texas that represents individuals with intellectual disabilities. And they were aware, and we filed this bill, crafted the bill, worked with all those stakeholders over the course of months, and we passed legislation that basically allows our police, our law enforcement, when they respond to a group home where some of these folks with intellectual disabilities live, they live in group home settings a lot of times where they need, you know, so they can be out, you know, functioning folks and
my uncle lives in a group home.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So they respond to these folks and to calls at these offices, and sometimes they get the call may be this person's made a threat, a terroristic threat or whatever to me, you know, because the residents sometimes, you know, like anyone,
absolutely,
don't always get along, right, you know, yeah, like brothers and sisters, all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but sometimes when the police get there, they realize that the threat really wasn't a life-threatening deal.
Right,
but they have no choice but to arrest.
Oh, man.
And that's a bad situation for the individuals in the home and for the police at the time. So this bill that passed and the governor signed it allows them more tools in the toolbox, allows them to use their professional discretion and common sense.
Don't
talk
just
to the
to
folks
them
there. Yeah, get the talk to the worker that's there and say, hey, you know, it's not appropriate to arrest this person at this time. And do more harm than good. So that's something that I'm pretty proud of that we got through the process. You know, again, true cooperation, local constituent, law enforcement, the ARC of Texas, and folks that tend to the needs of these individuals coming together and making something happen that was good.
Man, that's huge.
That is really cool. Because I can't even imagine how damaging that would be to a family or how traumatic that would be to someone who has a mental disability like that, because you want, like, My little brother has disability, so you want to get them out to where they have a life that's not just staying at home, you
sure
know? And,
mm-hmm,
and so I can't imagine that you finally get them out and then they say something goofy, you know, because they're, you know, and then they get arrested.
Yeah,
like,
that's
how
great
traumatic would that be? And then the responding officer's probably like, I don't want to arrest this guy or this
they
girl.
Don't.
Like, this is just goofy, you know.
Wow, that's
so
great.
That's cool to put a tool in their tool belt to
for
have
sure
them use their discretion.
Yeah, my brother-in-law has Down syndrome. So, you know, with Randy Irwin, his brother, I mean, it's just the special needs. He was a special needs educator with Crowley ISD.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So special needs is, you just touched on all three of our hearts. We're really passionate about the rights and fair treatment of special needs.
Great. Well,
sure.
I am too. We carried a STAR test bill that would have allowed parents to exempt their children from the standards of the STAR test if they have severe cognitive disabilities. And yeah, I know exactly. It's a four-letter word. Yeah,
man.
And you know, and I've carried that bill three sessions as an amendment. The first session as a bill. The last two sessions, and I'm sad to say it didn't pass this time either. But
my goodness, man,
I don't. You know, Lord willing, and the people willing of this county and Bosque County, I'll be back next session. I'll be fighting again for that same cause. If parents and teachers get together and say the STAR test is harmful to this child with an intellectual, you know, a severe cognitive disability, mm-hmm. we don't need this child taking the test. They shouldn't have to take the test.
Nope.
Mm. Bottom line.
But,
and so,
but Representative Burns, there's the STAR M and the STAR Alt that they can do.
Yeah, gosh, there is, man. The STAR Alt and the STAR M, and I don't believe they're appropriate either.
I agree with you 100%.
And we need to come up with a better way, as a meaningful assessment that gives us meaningful feedback, but also serves those kids better. All right, that we can tailor to those kids' needs, because those kids are successful. Kids can be successful, and especially those kiddos, and they just measure success in a different way. We have to be able to do that and do it in a meaningful way for those kids. It's something I'm passionate about, and I'm going to fight for, should Lord send me back next session.
So. When is the next session? When is the voting, and kind of how does it work? Are you going to be voted, running again, I guess?
I will be running again. I do have – I guess this could serve as my formal announcement. I haven't officially announced that.
Okay. Uh-oh.
You know, so, yes.
Wow.
Hold on, let me find the
some formal announcement coming.
No.
I was trying to find the
Bader.
Drum roll.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay. No, that's perfect. That's
Law
that's
and Order.
All right.
That is perfect.
Here
so,
it is.
Yes, I will be running again for re-election.
Oh,
yes.
All right.
And, there it is.
Speaking of re-election. Thank you.
When you said running again, I didn't know if you were going to say in a marathon or running again. I mean, like, this is cool.
Yeah, I might run a marathon. You never know.
Never
but
know.
No, so the
– You might.
The family 1K or the family 5K?
Yeah.
We'll run.
I'll do, you know, the – all kinds. Actually, we do runs, you know, believe it or not.
Okay.
There's all kinds, and you can follow my Facebook page and see some of those things. We try to tie into a lot of great ministries associated with those. But anyways, I digress.
No, that's good.
You asked me the question of – when
when
so when does this
expect?
All happen? So we'll March primary will be folks' first opportunity to vote.
Cool.
For me again. That'll come up in March, and then should I make it through that process? I'll be on the ballot in November in 2020. So
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. So March of 2020, and then in November 2020 for the general election. Primary in March. General in November, and whether you vote for me or vote for somebody else, get out there and register to vote. We need everybody's opinions.
Absolutely.
What's the percentage of people that vote in Texas?
Very, very low, and it depends on whether it's a presidential year or not.
Uh-huh.
And but very, very low. You know, 10% or less.
Wow.
It depends on some elections. You know, we can have special runoff elections where 1 or 2% of the people show up and vote for someone that's going to represent thousands of people, and you've just decided that election with a couple hundred
people.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, people complain all the time about who gets elected, and they don't think, okay, how many people vote in, like, the presidential election, like 50 million people or 60? It's, like, a small percentage of the population. So the answer to that is just get out and vote.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that was taught to me at a young age. Actually, through Burleson ISD, one of my American government teachers said, you have no right to complain if you didn't use your Democrat, you know, exercise your right to vote.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel that way still. I mean, if you don't exercise your right to vote, you know, you kind of don't have
a leg to
stand on. The cool thing about today, man, is just the amount of realism with you. I mean, you're a golfer.
Yeah.
You're a family man. Actually, the first time we ever met was at Hidden Creek.
That's exactly right.
Introduced to me by one of my college professors at DBU, now a neighbor of mine since last April. I moved next to Dr. Steve. What is his last name? I'm sorry.
Mullen.
Yeah, Dr. Steve Mullen. I couldn't even think of his last name.
He was a dean of faith there at Dallas Baptist. He was a preacher at New Hope Baptist Church, where I grew up, little bitty country church. I mean, literally, like, you know, 35 folks. Yeah, it's out near Goat Neck, about 20 mm-hmm. miles southwest of town there near our ranch. And Steve Mullen, Dr. Steve Mullen, baptize my kiddos in the creek because so our church cool. doesn't have a, you know, a baptismal. Baptistry. So yeah, so
I love
we
that.
Do it right there in Daisy Springs in the creek. I was in the creek, I was baptized in the river when I was 9 years old in the Brazos because the creek had dried up. So
there you go.
And I mean, I was
going to move everybody down to the creek. Oh, yep. It's dried up. We're going to move down to the Brazos. To the try river. Again.
Yeah,
the Brazos sure is the one that's really cold too.
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah,
it's like 5 degrees when you get in it.
It was pretty cold. It was fun though because I got to wear my suit clothes, you know, my nice dress clothes into the river, and I was thinking I'm gonna ruin these bad boys and never have to wear them again.
That's
you
it.
Know?
Oops, stepped in some mud.
So I grew up going to Tin Top, Texas, where the Brazos River crosses, you know, kind of out there, Weatherford area, and yeah. we went and visited with my wife and. Last week, just to kind of show her where I grew up, wakeboarding and kneeboarding and tubing, and from a small age, the Brazos River right now is so dangerous to get in. There are trees the size of my thigh floating down the Brazos right now. It's so full, and that just—it's interesting because I've never seen docks swept away until like in the last 2 or 3 years. But man, there's full-on docks that have been at lake houses for decades that are
washing down the river.
I didn't know we were that full right now, but like all the lakes are up. I think Granbury's up.
Benbrook's closed.
Benbrook's closed?
Oh, man.
It was a couple weeks ago, and I went fishing.
I had a buddy hit a stump in Granbury on like a $65,000 boat last week. I mean, because the stumps that are normally exposed were just a foot under. His boat is currently at a fiberglass shop in town because he hit a huge stump. So
he's lucked out. He's not way worse.
I mean, it's terrible. And Benbrook is stumpy, too. I think Benbrook's probably really dangerous right now.
I've been going across Benbrook, you know, full-on hydroplaning. And narrowly missed stumps that were, you know, mere inches.
That's
underwater.
My greatest. That's like, I know so that terrible. That is like.
You not, just scary. Buckle. You just throw that throttle back as soon as you see that. And
yeah.
Just,
yeah. Scared.
Better stay in the channel if you're going to Granbury.
Man.
Well, weather's crazy right
booty.
Now.
Booty, baby.
Yeah. Weather is crazy this year. We've had a really cool year, comparatively speaking. Here we are in late June, and we're still in the low 90s. It looks like, looking at the 7-day forecast, probably. The highest percentage of rain is 20%. So maybe this week we will skip out on more of those torrential rain. I mean,
maybe next Sunday the weather will just go wild again, like it's been every week,
every Sunday
every
night,
weekend, yeah,
every weekend.
It was pretty like consistent. 75-mile-an-hour winds in North Richland Hills on Sunday when we were eating at Carrabba's. Like we had a driver because we were with some couples from church, but he couldn't come out. He's like, I can't pick y'all up for an hour and a half. So we hunkered down literally. In Carrabba's restaurant till about 11:30 on Saturday night, Sunday
yeah,
night.
That was my wife, Kelsey was playing soccer on Sunday night at this indoor arena. And the walls were shaking. I was like, this is not a safe building.
People don't realize the storm a week ago, like the storm a week ago was so dangerous in Dallas, like trees. 150-year-old trees completely uprooted, like root ball and everything. I mean, this is getting crazy. But, yeah, so.
A mighty storm!
let's go back to the comments one final time, and then we're going to wrap this up. This has been a great episode. Cedric Ingram says, absolutely, !!
Dilly dilly.
Speaking from someone who has sat in on hundreds of ARD meetings. So thank you, Cedric, for that input. And Diana Tuttle says, "I was married in New Hope and baptized in the Brazos in November."
What do you mean, a real woman?
That's awesome. So thank you for tuning in, Diana, this morning. Eddie Wilbanks from Rio Vista, Texas, is tuning in. Thank you, Eddie, for tuning in there. And we have a really cool gift that State Rep Dwayne Burns brought us, and it is a flag that flew over. The Capitol, and with a certificate and rules governing the use of the Texas flag. So we will truly honor this. I just want to fill your bucket, man, as since we met back there, I guess it's been 3 or 4 years ago, and we've been friends and kind of kept in touch. You're the real deal, man. And I know that politicians seem sometimes untouchable, but you're the exact opposite. You've been a great example. You're a great model with your wife and family, and I don't know where this music's going, but I just want to say thank you for being a true friend and a role model when our country has a lot less role models than I would like, but you've been a true role model to me, and I look up to you. And so the fact that you came down, spent some time with us today, and joined us on the podcast means so much.
Well, thank you. It's my honor to be with you. It's my honor to spend time with believers, and I know you're one of them.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
learned that about you as soon as we met, and that's the kind of folks I want to be around. So it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Jonathan. And of course, I'm a forever the sickest kids fan anyway.
All right. You and Rick Perry, this was so funny whenever we visited the governor.
That's the most random thing.
This was so funny. When we visited Rick Perry at the Capitol, he had us, we were on tour for 2012 or 11. You can go Google the picture, but Rick Perry had us to the Capitol that year, and he had us in his office, and when we came out, they said that was the longest private meeting he had ever had, non-political. We were in there almost 2 hours, but
bless your heart.
It was so funny because, like, I guess it was 2 months later, he did an interview, I think the Washington Post, and they asked him his favorite, what he's listening to while he's jogging, and he said Forever the Sickest Kids, and he said one other band, but it was so funny to get that time with him, you know, that was interesting that the governor at the time said that we were one of his favorite bands just because of our friendship. But, man, it's great to just a reminder that politicians aren't unreachable. A lot of times they're great people, although they take a bad rap. And so I want to thank you for coming. And you're welcome anytime. We'd love to have you back sometime.
Thanks.
Maybe closer to the runoff that you're not going to have, but closer to the political season whenever people are voting, we'd love to have you back.
Thank you. 100%, yeah. Appreciate that, guys.
Yeah,
thank you. Good luck to you. Yeah. Blessings to you, man.
Well, on behalf of James Irwin, Stephen Brown, hey. State Rep Dwayne Burns, I'm Jonathan Cook. This is episode 019 of the Local Legend Show. Go review us on iTunes. Go subscribe to us. We would love it. And thanks for everybody that listened on Spotify, Radio.com, and iHeartRadio. We'll see you next week as we have the owners of a famous hotel in Dallas.
Oh!
Yeah, the Sweet Tooth Hotel in Victory Park. The owners and creators of that are going to be in studio, so stay tuned for that.
Awesome.
We'll see you next Tuesday, 9:30 to 10:30, right here on the Local Legend Show.
Boom! Peace!